Turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. We'll be starting in verse 10 of chapter 6. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and see that passage of Scripture that we'll be discussing. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Whatever one is, he has been named already, for it is known that he is man, and cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man the better? For who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow, who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of the mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. But the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him." Today we're going to talk about dealing with adversity. You know, adversity is something that everyone will face at some point in their lives. You can't buy your way out of adversity. So no amount of money can stop it. Good health won't prevent adversity, so you can't exercise your way out of it. Wisdom can help navigate through adversity, but it can't fully prevent it. God never promises a life void of adversity. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that we would have adversity and that we would face adversity in our lives. Now, there are times in our lives when everything just seems to be going great. But most of the time, we're facing some sort of adversity in our lives. So a large portion of our lives is taken in spending time dealing with adversity. Now, let me ask you something, a couple questions. Does this thought make life a terrible event? Knowing that most of the time you're going to be dealing with some kind of problem or difficulty in your life? Does this life seem like a cruel process not worth living? Does it seem like a cruel process that it's not worth going through? Well, the answer is yes, if you don't know how to deal with adversity. Yes, this life is so hard and so difficult that it's not worth living, that it is a cruel process if we do not know how to deal with adversity. If something beneficial can't be gleaned from the trials of life, then this life is not worth living. Understand that. If something beneficial can't be gleaned from the trials of life, then this life is not worth living. I believe adversity can be beneficial if we learn to deal with it properly. I believe Solomon has given us some excellent advice on how to deal with adversity in this passage. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can deal with adversity. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 10 of chapter 6, it says, "Whatever one is, he has been named already, for it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he." The first thing I want you to understand about dealing with adversity is don't argue with God about adversity. Don't argue with God. Who can contend with God? Who can contend with God? Arguing is a futile attempt. It's vanity. Solomon makes the point that our human predicament comes from a sovereign God. Do you realize the circumstances that you're in, everything you go through in your life, comes because God has allowed it and ordained it to happen in your life? Almighty God has created us and knows what is good for us. Arguing with God about how he created you is a waste of your life. In chapter 7, look at verse 9. It says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Now, this verse gives us the common reaction. Matter of fact, in verse 10, we got two common reactions that happen when things don't go our way. The first one is found in verse 9. We get angry. Now, when things don't go our way, that's what we do, isn't it? We get angry. We get upset. And we get angry at God sometimes. Now, even though our anger may not be directed right at him, in our conscience, because of our anger, we're actually upset at God for putting us in this predicament that we're in. We're angry that God allowed this to happen in our lives. When things don't go our way, we get angry. Maybe you work really hard on something and it doesn't succeed like you thought it would. It doesn't succeed like you had planned. Don't get angry at God about that. Adversity is part of God's sovereign plan. He has factored in that your plans would produce more problems. He has factored in that your plans would produce more problems. Now, let me explain. Computers, right? Think about computers for a minute. Computers are a wonderful thing, sometimes, right? Now, whoever thought up computers and all these things that we do on the computers, hey, they had some good plans. Their plan was to make our life easier, right? But what happened with computers? Problems came with computers. Anyone ever have a problem with their computer? Absolutely. People are employed full time to figure out the problems that come from us having computers, right? Do you think that took God by surprise? No. God, by his sovereignty, factored in that computers would have problems. Even though it was a great plan to have computers, there's still problems with those computers. Hey, you know what? You may have some great plans, some beneficial plans, but they might come with a whole new set of problems. Just remember that. They may come with a whole new set of problems. But is that bad? Is that something for us to get angry at? No, it's not. It's not. It's a time for us to be patient. It's a time for us to say, okay, God, you brought these adversities into my life for a reason. Show me what those are. Most of the, another typical thing that we do when we face adversity is we complain. In verse 10 it says, oh, I long for the good old days. You remember the days when everything was going great? You remember the days when we would, everything was just wonderful? Well, what is that? That's a complaint. Oh, today is terrible. The days that we're going through right now, they're terrible. And we complain, right? We complain. And we actually, when we say this, we are wishing away what we are going through right now and thinking about those few fleeting moments that we had in the past that we actually call good times, right? And our memories kind of fade, and we don't remember that even in the good times, there were problems, there was adversity that we faced, right? So we need to stop complaining, stop getting angry, and just allow the Lord to work things out in our lives. Remember, God created you. He knows what is best for you. Instead of getting angry or complaining about adversity, accept it as part of God's sovereign plan for your life. Now, look at verse 1 of chapter 7. It says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, I don't, when you see that right off the bat, you're thinking, death is better than birth? Now, Solomon points out that there is still some good in times of adversity. And that's my second point, that we would see the blessings in adversity. You know, in order to deal with adversity, you've got to see some good in that adversity, or it will eat you alive. Now, it may not make sense at first for us to see how being sad is better than laughing, but an examination of our heart will reveal why this is true. Now, Solomon says that when we see the end of men, in other words, when we go to a funeral, when we go to a funeral, we take it to heart. The Bible says that we take that to heart. Well, what does that mean? It means that we think about our mortality. We think about the fact that someday our body is going to die. And then we start thinking about what's going to happen after we die. Now, understand something. And we need to realize this. Do you realize you have to think about your death in order to receive eternal life? You have to think about your death in order to receive eternal life. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So there's this thought of death that brings us to the point where we will trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior so that we can live eternally. This is what Jesus is showing us. He's showing us through his death that we can have life. He did. He showed us through his death that we could have life. Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life. And he rose from the dead to show us that he could do this, that he could give us eternal life. But unless we think about dying, we can't come to the point where we trust in Jesus for our eternal salvation. We must come to that point. This is why the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Because wisdom comes from the Lord, and when you trust in Him, you become wise. And you receive a huge blessing. It's called eternal life. Listen, when you are facing adversity, you need to remember the biggest blessing that you got because someone great faced adversity. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, faced the adversity of going to the cross and dying on that cross so that you could be blessed with eternal life. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. And that is what we should think about when facing adversity. Think of the blessings that you have when you're facing adversity. Don't be like the fools and never consider your death, only seeking the folly of laughter. The greatest blessing of life is found when our hearts are broken over our sinful condition and we reach out to Jesus to save us. You see, the wages of sin is death. And death comes because of our sin. But when we go to Jesus and say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, we receive the blessing of eternal life. And that is a blessing that will get you through adversity. Now, thirdly, I want you to understand that when you're facing adversity, look to gain wisdom. Look to gain wisdom. Solomon encourages us to seek wisdom during times of adversity. Look to see what you can learn from the problems you are facing. Why? Because wisdom will be a defense in future times of adversity. Look at verse 11 of chapter 7. It says, wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. Wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that of wisdom gives life to those who have it. Now, when you think of an inheritance in the Old Testament, you need to think of land. You need to think of land. Now, the Israelites were given an inheritance of land. And that land, even when they had to temporarily sell it when they hit hard times, they were always able to get it back at the year of Jubilee. So this was a permanent possession that they had, this land, because it was their inheritance. During hard times, they could make enough food to get through. It was kind of a defense against a bad economy or hard times. Or in adversity. Wisdom acts the same way for us in our lives. When we have wisdom from the Lord, when we have the ability to follow His path and be guided by His decisions, then it's like a defense for us against adversity. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to face adversity, but it means that we will be able to be guarded from being destroyed by our problems. Guarded from being destroyed by our problems. I think that's something that we need to understand. Let's look to gain wisdom in times of adversity. Now, finally, look at verse 8 of chapter 7. It says, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. Its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now jump down to verse 13. It says, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what He has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. so no man can find out nothing that will come after him. Now, my final point is this. When dealing with adversity, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Verse 8 basically says, all's well that ends well. You ever hear that phrase? All's well that ends well. Well, guess what? If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, all will end well. Regardless of what you're going through right now, it's all going to end well. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, that is the case. All will end well. Because of this fact, we should be patient in adversity. Wait it out. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles. How can we be patient in adversity? Because we're trusting in the Lord. Because we are trusting in the Lord. We are waiting on Him patiently to work out the problems in our lives. Because we know that Jesus holds our future in His hands and has promised us eternal life in heaven. Now, I want you to understand, we can face adversity, and when adversity comes, don't argue with God about it. See the blessings that can come from it. Look to gain wisdom in it and trust the Lord through it. You know, I've preached on dealing with hard times, dealing with trials, dealing with adversity many times in my ministry. Can I just say it's easier to preach about dealing with adversity than it is to actually deal with adversity. You know, this year, I said on New Year's Day, I said to Christy, I said, sweetie, this is going to be a great year. 2013 is going to be our year. And I thought, man, it's going to be a great year. Well, about 3 or 4 days after that, Christy had to go to the hospital. And we didn't know what was going on, but come to find out, she had some serious health issues. Her carotid arteries had dissected, and she was in grave danger of having a stroke and dying. And I was faced with the real possibility that I may lose my wife, the second greatest blessing other than Jesus that I have in my life. And I must say that was real difficult to think about. Well, as I was contemplating that, and she was in the hospital, and we were trying to keep things together at the house, I saw, Tabitha sent me her blog, a song that she had discovered when she was facing some adversity in her life. And it really spoke to my heart. It's a wonderful song. And we are, after listening to it and thinking about it, I said that, Lord willing, when Christy and I get through this difficulty that she's having, we were going to sing this song together in church. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing this song. Christy just got a good bill of health from the doctor last week. We saw the neurologist, and he said you shouldn't have a reoccurrence of this and that you've got a clean bill of health and you should be fine. So we are grateful to God. Yes, we are. And, you know, God got us through this time of adversity. You may be facing some adversity in your life. I hope this song will be a blessing to you. This is our invitation. As the Lord leads, if you want to come up and just pray to the Lord, whatever you want to do. But I hope this song is a blessing to you.